of directors to order. The time is 11:33 on December 15th, Wednesday, 2021.
You can speak up a little bit.
Oh, sure. We're conducting this meeting at TCAD headquarters located at 850 East Anderson Lane in Austin, Texas, and a quorum is present. We are also conducting this meeting through Zoom meeting services as a courtesy. The first item on our agenda is citizens communication. I believe we have three citizens signed up. The first one I have is Eduardo Alarcon.
And I believe he's attending virtually, so Cynthia will unmute him.
Oh, we do not have him on the attendee list online, so I don't know if he's there in person.
Can you hear now?
Okay, she said he's not on the meeting.
Okay. The next speaker I have is Tiffany Taylor. Not in the meeting on the call either.
She was supposed to be in person.
Okay. And then the last speaker I have is Francine Swift. Okay, Francine, you have 3 minutes.
Can you hear me? I prefer not to take off the mask. Can you hear me? I speak on behalf in proxy of Calvin Bush, who is 100% disabled veteran from the Iraq Afghanistan wars, who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, commonly known as PTSD. On about October, he received a tax bill from the Travis County Tax Office, and he in turn called this office, and they in turn informed him to contact your institution, which is TCAD, I assume. They also informed him that he was dropped from the rolls since he was on the rolls in 2019. I spoke with the representative of the office at the time, and I was informed that he was dropped from the rolls due to a change in his status with the property. It was a name change for his so he was dropped from the rolls. And they reported also that I needed to contact the institution in order to rectify that. He was given instructions by your institution on what the form to send, what form to send in if he did that. So he later, after 3 weeks, he called the institution and talked to a Nikki. And the Nikki, we had conversations. He gave me the phone, and Nikki referred me to a Mr. Will Banks. And Mr. Wilbanks said he couldn't do anything about it, even when she referred me to a Mr. Wilbanks. He referred me to Ms. Mann. Now, what had happened in this case is the fact that I made a contact with the institution and was given erroneous information. Now, encounters such as this send a resounding message to veterans from this institution. Veterans like me as well. And the message that they send, they really don't give a damn about us as veterans, nor our service to this country. Thank you.
May I say something?
Absolutely.
We do care about you very much. We care about our veterans, and I'm asking the Chief Appraiser to follow up and make sure that we can take whatever steps are necessary or proper to check on this exemption application.
All speakers we have for signed up for today for citizens communication. The next item on our agenda is item 4, the consent agenda. These items may be acted upon by one motion. No separate discussion or vote on any of the items will be had unless requested by a board member.
I do have a question of the taxpayer liaison officer. That person is here.
Absolutely.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
I looked briefly, I might add, at reports that you presented from different taxpayers that have filed complaints. Is there something that kind of stands out to you about the complaints regarding the appraisal review board? Is there a misunderstanding about the board's role? It just seems like the complaints where we didn't get what we want, so we want to complain to someone. I mean, am I interpreting it correctly?
One of the challenges I have is that when people contact me, they think that I got some angel dust that I can sprinkle over their problem and all goes away, and that I can reverse whatever happened in their ARB hearing. I have a hard time explaining to people that I have no authority. I'm the complaint department, but I have no authority to do anything. You know, just as you heard, I get complaints, various types of complaints, but all I can do is help people understand. For example, a common problem I get is people will go to an ARB hearing and they have a ton of pictures showing the condition of their foundation. And they expect the ARB to be able to give them a break on their market value of the property based upon these pictures. So they come to me and say, I showed all these pictures and the ARB did not consider the evidence I presented. They get really hot about it. After I try to explain to them that the ARB has no way of converting those pictures into a dollar amount and go through that with them, then all of a sudden it says, yeah, okay, I have to have a contract estimate. Well, the ARB has some way to put a dollar value on that damage. So what I have here is a lot of property owners that are placing a lot of duty on the ARB to be able to take action without presenting them with the proper information to be able to do that. Then they come to me and they want me to fix it. So it's
I know that the controller's office has information about what sort of evidence needs to be presented to the ARB, and I know that's given to taxpayers ahead of time and that sort of thing. Is there anything else that can be done to help them be more educated?
Well, that's why you have me in this job, because these people don't read. And so they come to me, and so there are three types of people that I deal with. There are people that are demanding that I change whatever injustices they think happen.
That you can't do.
That I can't do. The other people that somehow think that I ought to be able to grant them another ARB hearing with a different panel. And the other people that say, you know, I didn't get the results I wanted, so what can I do? And so with those people, I can then go through their hearing. So I'll listen to their presentation. They didn't get to present to the ARB. It's a very short amount of time that the property owners have to present their hearing. So I get to hear these presentations that they didn't get to present. And then I also listen to the recording of the hearing itself to make sure I understand, because oftentimes what the property owner is saying happened and what really happened are two different things. But the people who want to understand, I go through with them. I take the time to go through with them and then try to explain to them why the ARB could not grant them what they're requesting. And then they understand it. They say, oh, okay, next year I can do better.
I guess that's my question or my issue. Is there a way to get that information to them before their hearing so you don't have to then do a post-hearing review?
There are lots of information already available on the web that the district has done. You've done a great job. These folks right here.
And I know that. But is there a way that we can get
them? You have to get them to be able to read the information that's out there. There's a lot of information out there, but what it comes down to is they need to be able to talk to somebody. That's why I'm in the job of men. Because I become that position that explains to them why they were not able to get what they wanted.
That's what I'm saying, Bruce. That's
when you do that on the front end, because if people, the information is there.
Yeah. But is there a way to do a little, you know, little review? You know, please note that these are the things that you have to present to the ARB.
I think you guys have done that.
I know, but verbally, because you're saying they don't read. I'm saying, is there a way before hearing there could be a little group session where you stand up and say, please read this, and this is important.
No, because these people, all of a sudden, they want to get into, they want their hearing. They want to, okay, I want to review this. And so tell me what evidence is going to work and what doesn't.
I think, Debbie, ultimately, where I would like to see us get to, particularly since a lot of what we're doing now is virtual, is to have, before they get into the call and get redirected to their virtual room, maybe have a video that plays in advance so that they can get, you know, some of that education. It's going to take us time to get there. I don't think we'll be able to get it done next year, but it's a goal that we're looking to move towards.
So to avoid you having to do a post-ARB, you know,
situation. And Debbie, I think a lot of it also goes to the stress the system is under. There is so much volume that we have in such a short period of time that we've got to get it done in, that taxpayers, I mean, we've got to do a hearing, you know, every 2 minutes. And, you know, while that's not necessarily how long we actually grant, it does put pressure on the system, and taxpayers don't feel like they get an opportunity to be fully heard, because we're bringing the next person right in and there's somebody always behind them. And so legislatively, if there's anything that we can do to relieve some of that time pressure and stress on the system to create more time that we can devote and give each individual taxpayer more of an opportunity to be heard, I think that would help. But it's going to require some legislative action to create that time gap for us.
It does that over time. Y'all have actually gotten much, much better about the kinds of information that's out there and available. I mean, it doesn't mean it can't still be improved, but I mean, it's a big leap from when I first came on board.
Yes.
You know, very, very hard to make that information available and easily accessible to people.
Yeah, we do a webinar series in advance of the hearings, where we'll do a live webinar and then we record that. And so that's always available. And we have it on the ARB page on our website. So taxpayers can go and watch that video before they come in and get more information. But really, it's about finding the time.
I think the site as a whole, this refresh that we did has been received very well with the community. I've gotten a lot of compliments on it, so I wanted to point that out as well.
Yeah, Cynthia did a great job on the refresh. She did a really good job.
That's what I was going to say, too. I think that we, to your point, we can always improve, but I like that the website has visuals and audio, because you know, not everybody is a visual, but, you know, not everybody's going to absorb information right. Well from reading, but.
Could that be played in the ARB waiting area?
I think the issue there is they're already here. They're not going to be able to leave and go get their stuff bed. Right. So by the time they're here, really isn't a time to educate, because they won't have what they need gathered. It has to be ahead of time.
It almost, like when we send out the coordinating date and time associated with the hearing date, embedding a video or something at that point would be the choke point, right?
So I don't know how you ever prevent, I mean, appreciate what we want to have our homeowners feel, our property owners feel heard, and that the system was fair, but I think there's always going to be some that, you know.
Well, I just hate the taxpayer liaison officer to have to be in this post hearing position of trying to explain what the ARB could do.
Yeah.
And that's an awkward position.
It's a challenging position, but I'll tell you that I have a tremendous working relationship with the district and with the ARB. I could not do my job without the outstanding work and support I get from these folks here. But the problem is that these property owners, when they come in, they're angry. And when they're angry, they don't listen too well. Before or after they're here, they don't listen very well. And so my job is to first make them feel like they've been heard, and then to work through with what's possible, what they can do. And so I'm able to make some headway from that. But you're right, it'd be better if we could get in front of the problem. But I don't know how we do that successfully, because these folks have done a wonderful job of trying to do that.
Any other questions for Mr. Wilbanks regarding the taxpayer liaison reports?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
I second that.
Item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All of those in favor?
Aye.
All of those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. We will move on to item 5A of our regularly scheduled agenda, discussion on ARB chair report to include the 2021 protest season and introduction of new officers.
Right here. Hello there.
Hi.
Good morning still, I guess. I'm Tom King. For those of you who don't know, you saw my face on Zoom a couple of times. Now you see it in person. I wanted to take the opportunity just a few minutes. Oh, you've got a big agenda today. I just go real quickly. First thing I want to do is introduce to you our new chair and our new secretary. And I asked them to come up and say a few words to you, just for about a minute or so, just so you kind of know a little bit about them. Craig Pfeiffer's our new chair, and Kendall Kelly's our new secretary. They'll be taking over the 1st of January, and I want to bring Craig up right now. Craig?
Hi. Hello, my name is Craig Pfeiffer. I'm a beta boss tonight. Born and raised, educated, McCallum, University of Texas. Devoted most of my life to civic service and public service. I started out of college at the controller's office, working for Mr. Bullock, worked for Mr. Sharp and Ms. Rolander. Lived in Texas. I did it with a smile and always got a pretty good relationship with the public. In addition to that, then I worked as the chief of staff for state representative out of Houston, Joe Moreno, who's deceased now. And then volunteerism has been pretty much been very fortunate to be able to do that. With my wife has been the primary revenue. So I got the opportunity to raise my son and participate in Boy Scouts and baseball and soccer and all the good things that comes with life. So with that said, most of my life has been in volunteerism and public service. And I really appreciate the Honorable Judge Meacham to be able to give me the appointment to serve the citizens of Travis County. And that's the role, is to provide quality service timely so that everyone has a chance to have their say, to be heard. Everyone, like, that's their primary investment in Austin. Travis County is their property, and they deserve that opportunity to be heard by the board and give it to them. And that's who I am.
I admire anyone who has served board controllers. I think that's a great achievement.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Well, bring Kendall Kelly up now. Kendall?
Hi.
Dr. Kelly, right?
Well, yes. Technically, I'm Dr. Kelly. I don't believe. So my name's Kendall Kelly. I have a PhD in technical communication and rhetoric, and also master's degree in literature and library science. So I'm really good at looking things up. And I could maybe help format some of the stuff y'all mail out, actually, because I do think you could promote it. Anyway, I taught English and technical writing at Texas State and St. Ed's and ACC for about 25 years, and decided I need to do something different. And I've been on the ARB for 4 years, and now I'm going to try and undoubtedly fall short, but try my best to replace Sally, who's done a great job for 4 years and has set things up wonderfully, so I can really just do things the way that she's done them. It is getting tough because property values are going up and the legislature keeps making things more difficult. It seems like every time they meet to get through things. But I do think property owners need a chance to be heard, and we want to understand their properties and have our records be as accurate as possible and to be as fair to them as possible. And that's always our goal, as much as we can do it. So, but it's nice to meet you all. Thanks.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate y'all stepping up to do this.
Thank you very much. I do want to say one other thing. I have on the screen there our 2022 vice chair is Terry Gaines. She, this will be her third year being the vice chair of the ARB, and that's a position that in our policies and procedures of the ARB, Travis County ARB, we have a vice chair position that's voted on by the members of the ARB, and she was unanimously voted to be the vice chair again for 2022. She's sorry she couldn't be here today. Big thing on the agenda I want to talk about real briefly is certification, which as you guys were well aware back on August the 30th at your last meeting that we accomplished that on July 19th with 91.28% of the roll certified. It took a lot of hard work. I've got on my little slide there the three A's. When I was writing this up, I thought, you know, there's the appraisal district, the appraisal review board, and agents. We all worked together to get this certification done for 2021. I called it a collaborative effort under the Texas Property Tax Code. You always have to be mindful of what the tax code said. There were three things that were done to accomplish certification, and you see charts, but I just wanted to tell you verbally. The appraisal district did over 32,000 informal settlement agreements with property owners and agents this year. That was about $22 billion of value. The appraisal district did over 63,000, almost 64,000 joint motion 4147F of the tax code, which was put into effect back in 2019. Now that was $98 billion in value. That I figured this out. That was over half of the property that was value protested. What they did through the top line, the nickname is top line through the joint motion process. We wouldn't have been certified if Ms. Kriegler and Ms. Mann hadn't done that. That was a big step, big step. Now we did 36,000 hearings this year, formal hearings, and that was about $50 billion in value. And that was through the end of October. We finished up all of our agent hearings and property owner hearings in September 3rd. And we went in for one last shot, and that was the week of October the 25th, because we had a lot of affidavit hearings that we still needed to do and a lot of reschedules. People can ask to reschedule their hearing. If they can't make it, they can do that before a hearing, or if they ask us at least 4 days after, before the fourth day after a hearing for good cause, and we've rescheduled a lot of hearings. We did 1,700 hearings the end of last week of October. We rolled in after that with only having 178 timely filed protests not heard, and 138 of those were rescheduled. So we pretty well got things. If you guys wanted us to get this thing done by the end of September or October 30th, really, but we kind of took it a little bit step further to the end of October, and we kind of got it all finished up. So our people at the ARB and all of the people that work for Maria and Leanna worked their tails off to do this. They worked a lot of late hours. Our panels were working not 8 hours, but 9 and 10 hours a day. And they didn't like me very much because I was pushing them. We gave the agents, 81% of the protests filed are from agents. So we've got to get the agent value done because they're the ones that do all the big value properties. We gave them a challenge, doing 60 hearings a day. So our panels, we started off back in June and we were doing 40, 45, and I had to do some reschedules because somebody didn't get their hearings done. But then all of a sudden we're hitting 50, 55, 60, over 60, some of them over 60 a day. So our panels learned how to go through the process with an agent. And that's why we really kind of did our part of the certification process. Last thing I wanted to talk about was the budget. I know that you were very interested in that last year and this year. And if you happen to see Leanna's slide in there on the budget for the ARB, we're going to be $120,000-$150,000 under budget for 2021. I've got my attorneys, the Armstrong Group, Roy and Julie Armstrong, still got some bills to send in yet and get processed. So that, you know, that's why I'm saying maybe, you know, 120 maybe. We're going to be under budget for 2021. And before I shut up, I want to say one last thing. There's a lady sitting in this audience today who's the secretary of the ARB. She's been the secretary for 4 years. She, like me, is in our sixth year, so we can't be on the ARB anymore according to what the tax law is now. We can only serve 3 terms. That's Sally Becker. She's sitting in the corner on the left in the green back there. She is the rock that kept us together all year. She's a subject matter expert on the ARB for the past 4 years. She did learn a lot from this lady sitting behind me, Ms. Betty Thompson. She served as the chair of the ARB for 4 years. But I couldn't have done anything that I did without Sally. And I just want to, in front of you, tell her that I really appreciate everything that she did to make things happen. I remember her sitting at her desk in our office, and we had all these property agents sending emails. They wanted to reschedule. An agent can reschedule their hearings if they've got a notice of hearing date and time from another county that was posted before our notice of hearing. And she was months working on this and trying to get it done with Maria and Leanna's people to get all these reschedules. It was a monumental job. She got it handled. And I just wanted to tell her, but in front of you, that I really appreciate everything that she did. I'm done. If you got any questions, please ask. Yes, sir.
First of all, our thanks to you and your colleagues for what you accomplished. I have several friends who are on the ARB with you, and unanimously, they extol the leadership that you brought to the ARB. I just want to thank you personally for that.
Thank you, sir.
An accomplishment.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to send my thanks too. I mean, this has been a really challenging time, and you know, the volume that we've had to deal with and some of the upheaval we've had. I really appreciate you coming in and kind of riding the ship. So since you're on your way out, do you have any advice for us?
Prepared for next year. I think it's going to be a bear, because what I read in the newspaper about what houses are selling for in this county now, what these ladies are going to have to do, their valuations of appraised value. I guess it would be more than 140, was it 147,000 protests this year, 142 or whatever it was. I think it'll be more next year. And you'll have more agents filing more protests. They'll be out scouting for business. You know, one of the big things that I got involved in this year was appointment of new members. And we started off at 104 first year members. That was back in January. Judge Sulak, I think, appointed that many. Or was it Judge Livingston? We had so many judges. I know it's Judge Meacham now. Anyway, now we're down to, I think, 56 new members. Still on the ARB. And it was Judge Livingston that wrote a letter. Mr. Valadez, you got one. I got one. You know, what's going on? Why are we losing these people? And there's three reasons why we lost as many first-year ARB members. Number one is they've had medical problems, either themselves or their family, and they just couldn't serve. Number two, they didn't realize the time commitment they were going to have to be on the ARB. I mean, we want you here at quarter to eight in the morning to be on the hearing panel, and we work until the business is done for the day, and whether that's 4:30 or 4 or 7 o'clock. They didn't realize the time commitment that was going to be involved. And lastly, a lot of people got full-time jobs. Those are the three reasons why we lost so many people, new people. I hope, and I indicated that to Judge Livingston and I know Peg and Lori who work for also know my sentiments on the thing that they needed to emphasize to people that make an application what's going to happen, where we're going to be. So maybe we won't have the fall off this in 2022. So you can have more of a full company. Another thing you better watch, going to have to watch out for next year is working in the building. And I don't know how we're going to be on COVID next year. I don't know. We've got 18 panels set up socially distanced with plexiglass and all that kind of stuff. But we don't have enough people on this ARB that are willing to come in here and risk getting infected from some property owner that comes in. So we can't fill 18 panels right now. So that's going to be a challenge, big challenge next year. We can do it remotely. They'll love to do the remote. So it won't get infected. With that, thank you.
Next item on our agenda is 5B, discussion and possible action on administrative judges appointment, reappointment, and replacement of appraisal review board members.
Yeah, we've been, I just wanted to give you guys awareness, and it's something that, you know, we're struggling with in terms of finding employees, but it's something that the judge is also struggling with, is finding enough ARB members to serve. So we have not yet gotten our full complement of ARB members appointed for this coming year. She's going to do another round of outreach for that. But just to make you guys aware, it's imperative for us to have our full complement of ARB members to handle the volume of work that we have that we anticipate we're going to get. And when we fall short, we start the year off at a disadvantage. I know the judge was working really, really hard, but it's a struggle that, you know, all governmental agencies right now are facing. It's finding enough people, enough staff, and finding enough ARB members to volunteer to serve. So,
are we going to be able to do some sort of hybrid for this coming year? Because I mean, what you said is right. I mean, we have trouble finding employees who want to serve customers in person.
Yes.
And if that's the issue, and we can do the hybrid, we can get more people to do it. Is that something we can continue doing?
I think doing the remote hearings, the virtual hearings, is probably going to be a new normal. I like it because it allows us to scale our ARB as large as we need to. We don't have an overhead, a physical space that we've got to provide to expand our capacity. So it really helps us provide more service for taxpayers. The issue that we have is for those taxpayers that want an in-person hearing, being able to find enough members that are willing to serve in person to handle that in-person hearing volume. That's going to be a struggle, but I think we will always continue to offer that remote component. I think it's a great privilege for us to be able to do that. It's a convenience for the taxpayers because, you know, they're not sitting and waiting in a waiting room. They can be productive doing other things. And then when their hearing comes up, they can transition into their hearing. So I think we will continue to do the remote version where we will have remote hearings, but we will also have a demand for in-person. And it's going to be tough finding people to fill that niche.
Well, folks need to know that the remote hearings will go faster.
They do.
They may be in a longer line for an in-person hearing.
Yes. And that's one of the issues that we will have is, again, if I only have a limited number of panels but a large demand, then that funnel gets even tighter, which means the wait times for in-person hearings may be much longer.
What percent of folks asked, kind of demanded an in-person hearing this year versus... Well, not 34%, but was it some, a lot, most?
Most people did their hearings remote. We probably had 1,200, 1,300 taxpayers that made a request for in-person hearings. The largest request that we had for in-person hearings were from agents. Mm-hmm. And that was a high volume of hearings to do in-person from tax agents.
I wonder if we can have a conversation with them in the interim, see if we can persuade them that this will go faster if they would be more flexible.
Every opportunity I have, I suggest that we do it remotely. There's also new legislation that allows us to do single member panels so that if I can find 3 to 5 people and they do a single member panel, then I can run 5 panels. Whereas if I've got to do 3 member panels, I might be limited to 2. But they've got to agree to do a single member panel. And right now they're just not comfortable agreeing to do single member panels. So, again, we will continue to reach out and make the suggestion But yeah, just so that you guys are aware that that's going to be one of the issues that we're going to struggle with in the coming year.
Is there a hiring period or a time period that you're looking for candidates? I'm thinking like what kind of preemptive steps that we can take now to sort of build up the pool of potential candidates for you. Is there a time frame that you're looking to like, is it, or is it ongoing?
It's going to be ongoing at this point. They really don't start service until May. And they've got training that they've got to do from the comptroller, although a lot of that training has gone virtual. So there's not necessarily as many hard deadlines for the training, but there is mandatory training that they'll have to take from the comptroller's office before they can start service. But service really won't start till the end of May, June. You know, that time period goes anywhere from June through the end of August into September, and then an occasional week or two here and there throughout the season.
You're constantly screening for candidates.
At this point, we are always on the lookout. Now, a lot of the direction that we get regarding recruitment of candidates has to come from the judge. But we have availed all of our staff resources to her to assist with that. And I know Cynthia has done a lot. We do a lot of print media. We do radio advertising. We do Facebook ads. Any outreach the judge has asked us to do, we have done that. And there's quite a budget that we do. I think we spent $35,000 so far this year doing recruitment efforts to get ARB members. But that's just going to be an ongoing thing. And as long as the judge is willing to continue to appoint ARB members, we will continue to assist her till we get our full complement.
Questions on this item? Okay. The next item on our agenda is 5C, Presentation of Government Finance Officers Association Triple Crown Award.
And this is, I've got to give kudos to Leanna. This is a Triple Crown Award. She hit the target on all three of the awards that the Government Finance Officers Association gives. And that's quite an accomplishment. I think we are the only appraisal district that has done that. So I am so proud of Leanna and so appreciative of all the work that she's done. And it is a tremendous accomplishment. So congratulations, Leanna. That's
I will have to say that GFOA is nothing to, it's not a walk in the park. It is definitely the pinnacle of standards when it comes to financial excellence. So it's a true testament of the level of ability, your financial management, your ability, your transparency. So thank you for doing such a great job on behalf of Travis County, because I know how difficult it is to accomplish that. And the Triple Crown couldn't be more, you know, happy and proud of your efforts. So thank you.
I'm such a proud mama.
Yes, you should be. It's no small feat, so.
The next item on our agenda is 5D, discussion and possible action on purchase of field devices.
So we have a mobile application that allows us to do our field work for our staff. It's one of the ways that we try to leverage technology to get as much done, given limited staff that we've got. And so we have field devices that we use, their iPads that we use. We had some money budgeted for it, but not only has the cost gone up, but we also requested additional appraisers. So we need more devices than we had originally budgeted for. And the devices that we are asking are just more expensive. Just it's inflationary increases in the cost. So we have money budgeted for the purchase, but we need additional funds to both cover the cost and the quantity that we need. So we are asking to do a transfer for the purchase from our reserves for computer equipment. We would need a transfer of $37,124 to make a purchase of 75 iPads, and the total cost for that purchase is $73,124.25. So we ask the board's approval to do the transfer and for the purchase.
I make a motion for transfer.
Item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. We will go on to item 5E, discussion and possible action on purchase of audio visual and video conferencing equipment.
So we are all living in a new world in the pandemic where we're doing a lot more things virtually, but we do have a requirement to do our board meetings in person now. But as a courtesy to the public, we want to continue to do and offer the hybrid version with the Zoom. Right now, we have a very economical solution that we're using, but I think we can do much better and make the service a lot better if we get some audiovisual equipment, retrofit this room to actually be a comprehensive video conferencing. Again, it'll help make the quality for the public much better and make their participation easier on that. So that's part of what the purchase is to retrofit this so that we can do our board meetings, not only in person, but also video conferencing with a good quality, but also to provide those same kind of video conferencing opportunities in some of the other areas in our building. We've got another training room and a couple meeting rooms on the fourth and third floor that we would also want to retrofit for video conferencing. So the proposed and total cost for that would be $210,000 for all of the equipment and software and labor to do the installation to retrofit all areas of the building for video conferencing.
I think it's important to note that this was the initial intent from the offset.
Yes.
And peeled back during the remodel. Is that right?
Yes.
The training, it would enhance your training abilities.
Oh, absolutely.
For the staff, wouldn't it?
Yes,
I understand.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would include the three training rooms that we've got and a conference room on the fourth floor.
You could video in a training session and get really good quality mm-hmm. and not have to have an in-person trainer there necessarily.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Also help the ARB, like in terms of their ability to train.
That's true.
There's
an opportunity that they might be able to leverage this room if they needed to do a quorum meeting and do it in a video conferencing.
Controller training, perhaps, from one of the training rooms?
Yeah,
that way?
Yes.
Some of the equipment would be mobile, so we would be able to move it down to their break room so that they could do it in their area. So, yes.
So, for board meetings, we have to have a physical quorum going forward. But will board members be able to participate remotely?
Yes, this would enable us so that we could have some board members participate remotely and have good quality on their video and audio. And again, we've got to have a quorum present physically, but those members in excess of a quorum could participate remotely.
It's good to know. You never know when somebody's going to fracture their ankle.
Yes.
I move to approve the expenditure for the audiovisual and video conferencing solution.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded by Mr. Buckle. And any discussion on that item? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. We will move on to item 5F, discussion and possible action on renewal of deep processing automation contract.
So we did a contract with Just Appraise in the past to help automate our deep processing. It's an online process where they do a lot of artificial intelligence, OCR reading of the deed records, and then it populates within our system. It helps us get the workload done without the need for additional staff. And given the fact that it is such a struggle right now for us to find clerical staff, this becomes even more important for us to help bridge the gap that we are finding ourselves in just with our difficulty finding actual staff members. So the cost of the contract for 2022 would be $79,800. And again, it allows us to expedite the processing of the deeds. It's really important for us to maintain our workflow.
I'll second it.
Okay, that has been moved by Mr. Gruby and seconded by Ms. Cartwright. Is there any discussion on that item? Okay, hearing none, we will take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. We will move on to item 5G, discussion and possible action on 2020 property value study to include SOAH hearing results and potential appeal to district court.
So this is regarding the 2020 property value study, and we've presented this to you guys in the past, but just for background, the comptroller does an annual study of the appraisal district. In even years, we get a property value study. In odd years, we get a methods and assistance looking at our procedures and standards. Our 2020 property value study, we fell out in several school districts, meaning that the comptroller ruled that the appraisal district was not up to the standards necessary. And we had seven school districts that were in grace and one that had state findings. We got a permission from the superintendents of the school districts to file protest with the property value study. And the central issue that we have with the comptroller is a change in their rules and the way that they do the property value study and the failure of the comptroller to recognize some of the statutory laws that the appraisal district is required to follow. The law requires that the appraisal district, if there is a protest in the prior year and the value is set by the appraisal review board, the appraisal district cannot, and I mean we cannot, change the value unless we have clear and convincing evidence. And if you'll recall, 2020 is the year when we got the cease and desist order from Austin Board of Realtors and we lost all of our market data. So we did not have evidence to change values in 2020, and we did not. But the comptroller
values from
the 2019 ARB determination. Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Clear. Yeah, we did not have the clear and convincing evidence necessary to adjust values, but the comptroller is refusing to make the statutory adjustment that we feel the statute requires. We had a hearing before the State Office of Administrative Hearings, before the judge. The judge ruled in favor of the appraisal district that we did not have statutory authority to change the values, therefore the comptroller should make an adjustment. However, by rule, and these are rules that the comptroller wrote for themselves, by rule, they can reject the SOA judge's recommendation, which is what they have done. And so they have not made any changes. Our next opportunity of recourse is to go to district court. So we have a resolution we would like you guys to approve, giving us the authority to appeal this to district court, because we feel very, very strongly that we are in the right, that our course of action was the appropriate course of action, and that the comptroller should have made the adjustments.
Do you give us a little information about what our attorneys have said in this regard?
Yes, we're represented by Michael Navarre of Baden Navarre Strama, the same people who represented us in our issues with ABOR, if y'all recall. And we feel very confident with the legal precedent that's established. We think it's pretty black and white. We hit a home run with the administrative law judge and the staff office of administrative hearings, ruled exactly the way we wanted the rule. And we're actually surprised that the comptroller is not abiding by that decision. So we think it's basically a no-brainer to pursue your legal remedies in the next appellate forum, which is in district court.
So if the district court rules in our favor, what would be, will the comptrollers, again, will their rules sort of prevail, or they can't supersede sort of district court?
Correct. They would have to abide by that order. Of course, they could appeal that to appellate court. I don't know if they would. Our intention before that, though, is to try to enter into settlement arrangements with them prior to that. Our deadline to file is actually today, given the final decision was rendered in November 15th. So we'll have to go ahead and file that suit, but we have every intention to try to sit at the table with them and come to some resolution before having to hopefully even go to trial.
Is there any reason, or do you have any ideas to why they're sort of digging their heels in that sand on this, despite sort of the findings of the court, or?
I can't speak to the reasons why the organizationally
or a person that feels that it's, I mean, it, sometimes these things can be driven by, zealot personalities, or is it sort of a comptroller stance across all appraisal districts across the state?
The 2301E, which is the statute that this issue hinges on, was enacted in 2019. So it's a fairly new legal issue that's come up, and they have a different perspective on how that act, if that's truly prohibitive of the chief appraiser to increase praise values, and they just simply disagree. With that said, there is a little bit of turnover in that department, so there's some shuffling going on, which may be an issue that or the result might be this that we're seeing. But I'm optimistic that we can come to the table with them and come to some type of resolution. I really do.
Yeah, I would imagine this is affecting other appraisal districts across the state. So I'm wondering, no, or I mean,
it would set legal precedent. Absolutely. And that's why we're optimistic that they would come to the table and hopefully resolve this before you get case law saying they have to do this. Absolutely.
As far as it affecting other appraisal districts throughout the state, we were in a somewhat unique position this year in that we were prohibited from using our data source that, you know, other districts didn't have that prohibition. So that might be where we're
right. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've heard the saying, if the facts are on your side, argue the facts. If not, then argue the law. And if the law's not on your side, just pound the table really loud until someone listens to you. Well, fortunately for the district, the facts are on our side because it's a perfect storm in Maria Krugler's favor, which is the fact that she had no information to overturn the prior ARB decisions of 2019. And so clearly that statute's at play. And nothing is being done to adjust for that circumstance.
And the rules changed. I mean, because the rules that they operated under in 2020 would have required them to make an adjustment, but they changed the rules January of 2021, which is when our property value study results came out. So there was a change in the rules at the comptroller's office.
We prevailed. Do they cover our legal fees?
Nobody ever covers our legal fees.
Is there any estimate what those fees would
be? We do not have an estimate, but we can get that for you. So the reality is most of the work has already been done up to this point because we're basically taking most of the factual information because it's not a de novo appeal. We take what we've done already and just move into the trial court. So most of the witnesses, the facts gathering, discovery has already taken place and the money spent, basically.
So is it on the record appeal?
Sorry?
Is it on a record?
Yes, sir. Appeal? Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes.
We look for a motion to support this resolution?
Yeah.
I would admit that.
I second.
That has been moved by Ms. Bastian. And seconded by Ms. Conley. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5H of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on Chief Appraiser's report to include 2022 fieldwork, software conversion, taxpayer outreach programs, legislative updates.
So just a report to give you guys an update on what's happening at the appraisal district. We are now in our discovery phase. We've completed substantially all of our protests. We still will have probably another round of ARB hearings in January for maybe a day or two, just to clean up some of the late hearings that have come in. But we are in the field gathering data, preparing the roll for the next year. We are also doing a software conversion. We're changing our software vendor, getting new software, giving us a lot more capabilities, a lot more functionality than we had in the past. But again, with any software conversion, it's something that always takes time is painful as you go through it. But the bright side on the end is a lot of the functionality that we will be able to provide not only to our staff, but also to the public. And you're already seeing some of the results in our website refresh. We've got a lot more functionality. There's a lot more features being offered on our website and in property search that we think are very positive for the taxpayers. But that's an ongoing process, and we will continue to go through that throughout the rest of this year. We will be ramping up our taxpayer outreach program. We will be repeating the same series that we did last year. So we will do an outreach program with Bruce probably in January before the deadline, tax deadline. We'll do another one about exemptions specifically, because there's more changes to exemptions and some legislative laws that have changed exemptions. So we want to make sure that we update taxpayers on what they can do. And then we'll be doing our series again before notices go out, so property owners know what to expect in the notice of appraised value. And yet another video series, webinar series that we will do before the protest season starts, so we can explain to property owners what to expect when they file their protest, how to go about doing it informal, and what to expect when they go into a formal hearing. And again, any of the webinars that we do, we put on our website, we record, and then we make them available for property owners to view at their own convenience at any time. So we are continuing with our outreach program. Very proud of Cynthia and the program that she's helped us put together, because she won the IAAO award for communications last year. So it's a very effective, and we're really proud of the program that she put together. To give you guys a legislative update on some of the things that, since our last meeting, we've had some special session bills that have passed. Most of the bills that passed in special session are related to exemptions, homestead exemptions. We've got Senate Bill 8, which provides the immediate taxpayer homestead exemption, which means that a property owner no longer has to wait until the January 1st following their purchase of the property to qualify for the exemption. They can file for their exemption immediately upon purchase, but there is an exception. It has to be on a property that does not previously have an exemption claimed on it. So if there's no exemption on the property, they can claim their exemption mid-year. It gets prorated on, so it's not as if it existed in the whole year. It is prorated on from that point forward. But it does allow property owners in new construction, new homes, to start claiming their homestead exemption a little bit earlier than they may have been otherwise able to claim it. Also, in second special session, there was Senate Bill 12. This is one that was passed, but it is going to require voter approval. But this would allow some tax relief to property owners that are over 65 and disabled. When the legislature passed HB 3 in the 86th session in 2019, it was a lot of school financing reform, and it changed the formulas, and it changed the tax rates that school districts charge for local taxes. There was some compression in that tax rate, which created some savings to local property owners. However, taxpayers that had their taxes frozen didn't see any benefit of that compression. So this bill would allow for those property owners that are over 65 to have their tax ceilings recalculated so that they can see some of the relief that was generated because of the compression. But that is something that will require voter approval, and that election is May 7th of 2022. And then in third special session, the last homestead bill that passed through that special session was Senate Bill 2. And that one increases the school district homestead exemption from $25,000 to $40,000. But this is another one that's going to require voter approval. And it's a little complicated because the effective date is January 1st, but it really isn't effective until the voters approve it on May 7th. So our notices of appraised value will go out in the interim between that funny period there. So we will put the actual $25,000 on our notices of appraised value, but we will put a note on the notice of appraised value letting property owners know that there is an election May 7th and they can vote to increase that to $40,000. And I think that way we are as clear as we can be with the complications.
Increasing voter turnout.
Yeah.
The election, it's gonna be pathetic turnout. This is important stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we will work. And you know, I've also talked to Bruce to see if there is anything that we can do to help him with voter registration, since we are going to be talking about the election in May. There might be some information that we can provide to property owners if we're going to tell them about election, give them the tools that they need so that they can participate in it. So we are looking to see how we can maybe coordinate with Bruce's office and voter registration for that.
For you, if it happens, if it becomes voter authorized in May versus January 1?
No, there's no, because you know, entities have an option to do a local option exemption, and that usually happens in the late June, July time period. So we're used to making corrections at that point in time. You know, we just hope that it gets done prior to certification so that we can incorporate that in the certified totals that we provide to the taxing entities and give them the best information possible. It's one of the reasons why it's so important for us that the ARB is at 90% at least by July 25th, because the information we provide to the taxing entities goes into that calculation of that tax rate. And we want that to be as accurate as possible. So not only can the entities get good information, but also so tax rates don't get set that are detrimental to property owners. We're going to continue to work on that. And like I said earlier, legislatively, you know, one of the issues we've got to talk about is this, the pressure that's being put on the system and being able to get all of this workload done in the time constraint period that we've got to get it done in. It's becoming increasingly more difficult. And if our volume of work increases substantially, it makes it more difficult. And given the current climate and the issues that we're having finding employees, providing all the services that we need to is becoming more and more of a strain. We've got a lot of staff that are making up the gap by working a lot of overtime, but they're burning out. And so we really need to figure out a way to create more time within the system to get the work done, because I see that as the biggest problem with our property tax system right now, is we put too much stress on it to get stuff done. We are working legislatively. You know, a lot of what we do in our legislative efforts are education and just meeting with various representatives to talk to them about issues affecting appraisal districts and educating them about the property tax system. And we've got an agenda item a little bit later on to get some additional assistance helping us with that in the coming session. But with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about appraisal district operations.
On that item, we'll move on to item 5I, discussion and possible action on appointment and compensation of taxpayer liaison office.
And this is something that we do annually, and Mr. Wilbanks has been our taxpayer liaison for 2016, so 5 years, he has been our taxpayer liaison, and his contract is up for review, and again, we are pleased with the service that he's provided to the taxpayers, and we would recommend renewal, but that is an item for the board to discuss and a decision for you guys to make.
I'll make a motion to approve the professional services.
Can I make a comment, please?
Sure, come forward, Mr. Wilbank.
I've been in this job for 5 years, been here for a while, and the job has changed significantly over time. Let me tell you that over the last 2 years, the job has been incredibly complex and demanding. I respectfully request that you increase my compensation from $20,000 to $30,000 per year. I think that's more than fair for the kind of job I've been doing and the kinds of demands of the job.
Second. That has been moved by Mr. Buckle and seconded by Mr. Gruby. Is there any discussion on that item? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5J, discussion and possible action on contract for appraisal review board administrator.
And I want to thank you guys for the taxpayer liaison. Again, the role that he plays is really critical, and Mr. Wilbanks has done a fantastic job for us. So thank you, Mr. Wilbanks, for all that you've done. Item 5J is discussion and possible action on a contract for an appraisal review board administrator. There's new legislation that passed this last session that allows taxpayers to go to arbitration for procedural violations of the ARB. And so it's going to be really, really important moving forward that we are watching our P's and Q's, dotting our I's, crossing our T's in terms of all the procedural actions that we need to take with the ARB. And what we would like to do is to have a contract with Betty Thompson. She's a former ARB chairperson. She knows the procedures, the requirements of the ARB to help provide that continuity year to year, having somebody that has experience to help the new chair and secretary with all the procedural items that need to be handled throughout the year with the ARB and just act as a liaison between the board of directors and the appraisal district and the ARB, but to also help us stay on point so that we don't create any opportunities for us to have to deal with arbitration on procedural items. And again, it's going to be a really critical role for us moving forward. It's something that's brand new, but there is a definite need for somebody to fill that role. So we've got a contract recommendation. And again, Ms. Thompson is who we would recommend for that contract. And she's here today.
This position has been needed for quite some time, in my opinion, and no one could serve in a better in this than Betty Thompson. And I am delighted that she's willing to enter into this agreement, because the legislature made some pretty dramatic changes in procedural, ARB procedural oversight. And so to have an additional person making sure everything is done correctly is just a huge bonus for the ARB and for the district. So I just want to express my support for this.
Can you make a motion on it too?
And I would like to move approval of the agreement with Betty Thompson to serve as the Appraisal Review Board Administrator for the January 1st through December 31st, 2022.
I'll second that.
Okay. That item has been moved by Ms. Cartwright and seconded by Ms. Bastian. Is there any further discussion on that item? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5K of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on contract for legislative services.
And again, we had Kate Alexander, and she was a great add to our staff. She helped me tremendously with a lot of our legislative items, but she moved on to other opportunities with a different organization. And we have not been able to find another special unicorn like Kate to assist me in those efforts. So we would like to, Jesse, how are you doing? We would like to recommend, and we've used Jesse and his firm before, to hire them again to help us with our legislative items and our legislative priorities. Again, a lot of what they do is helping us schedule meetings, helping prep me for the meetings, helping us prepare materials, you know, just coordinating with us so that we can articulate our legislative priorities, and also help us get into the right offices so that we can educate the legislatures about the work that we do, so that they've got a better understanding of the legislation that is being put in front of them, and that they can understand the appraisal district's perspective of the issues that might be as a part of some of the recommended legislation. So we would recommend, again, it's a firm that we've used in the past, and we would like to bring them back. And again, I think they did a great job for us in the past, and I think they'll do a great job for us moving forward. And Jesse Zira is here.
Sure, happy to answer any questions. I'm happy to tell you 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes. So this is Carolyn Sager, one of my partners with the firm. I'm a former mayor, former school board member, and former staffer at the Capitol, worked with Joe Strauss, I was his chief of staff. And I say those things not to boast, but I say those things to say that I understand the governance side of an entity, and I appreciate a former school board president. So I understand appraisals, that whole process. Worked for the controller's office for 8 years, understand the property value study. Carolyn spent a number of years working tax issues, property tax in particular. So we understand the process, but equally important, we understand the politics that we all live in today, particularly at the Capitol, particularly when it comes to property tax relief, appraisal relief, and all those issues that we're going to see. Yeah. So, and we do have a history, as Maria said, and we understand each other and understand her expectations and your expectations. And happy to serve if you so desire.
Thank you so much for being here. Is there any questions?
I have one question. Sure. Do you represent other appraisal districts or TCAP even?
No, this would be our only appraisal district that we would represent. I do, for the record, I do represent Texas Municipal League. I represent a number of associations, including Association of School Administrators, City of San Antonio, and then all the rest of my clients are private sector clients. Don't have any conflicts that I'm aware of. And don't have any from a separate
department. Now, in the past, I represented the Emergency Services District, but not currently, so I
again, I wouldn't see any conflict with that.
We have two other partners, Colby Nichols and Joe Valenzuela. We share clients, so don't have any other conflicts. I'm from Taylor, just down the road, on the Great Barbecue. So if you ever come down there.
I've worked around the legislature for a long time and can say professionally and personally that Jesse and Sarah has one of the best reputations in the legislature and has a great deal of integrity and knowledge that will serve our organization very well. And I support his being hired today.
Well, you got your work cut out for you.
Yes.
If this is any indication of what we are to face in the next session.
You're going to need a team effort, I can guarantee you that. So, and you know, we're not afraid of it. We've been in the middle of it. It is what it is. Representing Municipal League under attack constantly, representing school administrators. We're now under this new wave of attacks. I get it. We understand how to work in the trenches, but we also understand how to be respectful and professional and work with integrity. That's for me. That is very important. Appreciate your comments.
I think this is great. It's overdue. My only question is, so we don't have to put this out for bid?
No.
For the non-money it is?
No, it's professional services.
There was legislation about banning, you know, this type of thing, like lobbyists. I know it affected school districts greatly. Do you see those kinds of things cropping up in the next session? As always, you have to defend that.
Yeah, so the whole, it's commonly referred to as taxpayer-funded lobbying, so banning that. And so I'm in the middle of that debate, have been for the last two sessions. You already see that in some of the primary, heating up for the primary races, we're going to see it March. And I understand the way that it's presented, but I think there's another side to the story that you need to be able to advocate on behalf of your constituents and your clients. And so when I'm out there advocating on behalf of TML and the city, those examples, we're trying to bring a change to the law that will benefit a particular community and the citizens of that community. We're not trying to work against the taxpayer, but it's presented in a certain way. And when I read it, I'd be okay with it too. But when you peel back the onion, and you understand that you're trying to get funding for roads and parks and economic development projects, et cetera, there's a whole other side.
It's not just about funding. It's about making this process work more efficient.
That's right.
There is funding.
That's right. You
know, it's not a very efficient process.
I'm well aware of that issue, and I have scars to prove it.
Other questions?
Contract for legislation.
I second it.
Okay, that has been moved by Mr. Gruby and seconded by Ms. Cartwright. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for
being
here, and we look forward to
with you and the team. We'll be in touch and follow up. Thank you. Appreciate you. Have a good Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
On to item 5L of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on the performance review and compensation of chief appraiser.
And this is an annual thing that we do, and I don't know if you guys want to do this in executive session, and we could also take up our litigation in executive session as well.
We will now suspend the regular scheduled meeting of the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors at 12:47 and go into executive session.
Thank you. Sorry.
The time is 1:25 p.m. and the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors will reconvene its regularly scheduled meeting. Coming out of executive session, we will get back into our regular agenda 5L, discussion of possible action on performance review and compensation of the chief appraiser. Is there any motion from the board regarding this subject?
Yes, yes, I would make a motion that based upon
Ms. Krigler's work during this past year that we increased her base salary to $235,000 and we give her also a merit bonus of a 5% of her annual salary and allow her to roll over her vacation time.
Okay, that item has been moved by Mr. Buckle and seconded by Mr. Grubey. Is there any further discussion on that item? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 5M of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on litigation and appeals related to pending lawsuits and anticipated lawsuits.
We have no action on that item.
Okay. And then we will move on to 5N, discussion and possible action to add items to future agendas. Is there anything that any board member would like to see added to our next regular meeting?
No, but I would like to hear from Mr. Wilbanks rather than have him on consent. I think it's important that we hear what's going on.
I tend to agree with you.
Okay. So, Leanna, can we get just a drag and drop on that from consent? Anything else that anyone would like to see? We'll move on to item 5O.
Second.
Been moved by Mr. Grubey and seconded by Mr. Buckle at 1:27 on December 15th, 2021. Wednesday, the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.